I hope that waked you up. Wasn't that beautiful? Pray with me. Our dearest Lord God, continue to help us and be with us in the beautiful resurgence of this church in Littleton. Lord, be with us. Let us learn from each other. Let us grow. Amen. I'd like you to take a minute as we open the book of Acts again, Acts 2, to imagine how it must have been for this new church. Close your eyes. New converts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, last week we looked at the first chapter of Acts, and Jesus gave his disciples the job of being his witnesses in their homes, in their familiar places, with the places and people they'd rather avoid, and even to the ends of the earth. And hopefully some of you started thinking about your faith story between last week and this week. This week we're in the second chapter of Acts, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in our first reading last week arrives on the scene. We'll celebrate that at Pentecost. But basically, everyone in Jerusalem who was packed in, Jerusalem was absolutely filled to the brim at this time for the holiday, and they were wondering what the disciples were doing. They had poured out of the room, they were speaking in foreign languages, and all these people were wondering, you know, is this something from God? Is this a great street performance, or are these people drunk? And so Peter gathers the people together, and he stands on the steps of the Temple Mount, and he gives the first sermon for the early church. And he tells the people who are listening about Jesus' resurrection, invites them to repent and be baptized. And as a result of his sermon, 3,000 people are added to the church in a single day. That's one amazing sermon. Don't get your hopes up, though. I am not Peter. But after the early church figured out how to baptize 3,000 people, which is an interesting story for another day, then the disciples had to figure out how to share life and faith with people who had never actually walked a single step with Jesus personally. In these six verses we just heard in the second chapter of Acts, line out what the disciples thought was most important for deepening the faith of those who had been longtime followers of Jesus and for building up the 3,000 newly baptized converts. But zooming back to today, I had befriended a guy about my age who was very new to the faith, so he was very willing but not super informed. And he asked to meet with me, he had some questions for me, and he asked me at that meeting a very simple but very difficult question. He asked me, how do I know if I'm really, actually growing spiritually? How do I track my progress? That's a bit of a head scratcher. How do you really know if you're growing spiritually? I mean, we have many ways of tracking progress in other areas of life. Sports uses points to track progress. Business can look at profits and losses. Schools use points and letter grades and degrees to track progress. We can track progress in so many areas of life. How much do you make? How many friends do you have? How many people shared your last online post? What's your test score? How many certifications do you have? How long will your retirement last? But how do we track progress in our faith? How do we really know if we are actually growing spiritually? Well, when my friend asked me this question, I took him to the verses we just read, and And I asked him to read through that and to tell me what he saw there. What did he see was important to the disciples in terms of spiritual growth? And from that conversation, I eventually developed the image of the tree that you'll find in the insert in your bulletin. Business has profits, sports has points, schools have grades, but with spiritual growth, one way to imagine our growth, to track our progress, is to use the image of a tree. Two reasons I like that image for spiritual growth. First off, a tree has to have several components to be living and thriving. A pile of branches is not a tree. You know, a stump is not a tree. A bushel of apples, a sack of seeds, those aren't a tree. You need the whole picture to be a living, thriving tree. I also love that it's organic. No two trees are exactly alike. Some are tall, some are short, some are leafy, some are sparse, some keep their leaves for the whole year, others lose them during the winter. Spiritual growth, like trees, is not cookie cutter. No two people's rings on their trees will be exactly alike. And so, but at the same time, trees do have common components. Every tree needs soil for nutrients. Every tree has roots and a trunk and branches. There are common components to every tree, even though each individual tree looks different. And so this image of the tree is spiritual growth. It's built out of those common components, the things that apply to all of us. But your tree isn't going to look like mine or the person sitting next to you. One of the reasons, that organic nature, I like the image of the tree. So the first thing that a tree needs to live and thrive is its soil. Soil provides nutrients and minerals for the tree. It's the baseline, the starting point. And in verse 46, we see what the baseline is for Christians, for these early disciples. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. The soil for the tree, the baseline, the source of essential nutrients and minerals is worship. There is something very important about what we're doing as we gather here as we are today. When I was in college, I thought that I could do this whole faith thing without the church. After all, worship can be boring. The people can certainly be annoying. And I can read the Bible on my own. I can look up commentaries if I have a question. And if I need a little spiritual pick-me-up, there's Christian radio. So why do I need the church in general and worship in particular? Well, after 2.5 years of doing Christianity on my own, I came to a realization. I realized that I was lonely, that I was stagnant, and worst of all, the absolute worst thing about doing that was I was bored out of my mind. I realized the last time that I had a sense of purpose and direction in my life was when I was actually gathering with other believers in worship. So I went back to worship and to a church that Sunday, and it has been anything but boring ever since then. The Christian life is almost impossible to sustain and grow without gathering in worship. That's why the disciples wanted those 3,000 people to spend time in the temple. And it's why we have the reminder in Hebrews chapter 10. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. Worship is to the Christian what soil is to the tree. It is the baseline, the source of essential nutrients and minerals. It anchors us in a particular place, gives our growth a context and a place. But just as soil is not a whole tree, so too worship is not the whole of spiritual growth. To start growing from there, to get the tree growing, you really need a seed to start to be planted in soil. Verse 44 talks about all who believe. Verse 47 mentions being saved. So we know that the disciples wanted those 3,000 newly baptized converts to believe something particular, something specific. If you rewind and read the rest of Acts chapter 2, which I encourage you to do this week, go back and read Peter's amazing 3,000 convert sermon. But the key line, the key first seed of faith, the specific belief, is this. Therefore, Peter says, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. The seed of faith, the thing that gets the tree growing, is a commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, some people have an exact date, you know, June 22nd, 2001. You know, they know the exact day and time that they decided to trust Jesus with their life, the day they wanted a personal relationship with Christ. For others of us, it's a gradual thing. One day you look back and you realize, oh, I've been letting my faith shape my life decisions. My mom grew up in a small town in Texas, and she was in a church where they did altar calls fairly frequently. And so from month to month, As she listened to the preacher, she would get reconvicted and wonder, did I lose it from the month before? They eventually had to tell her, Luann, stop coming forward. You've committed yourself to Jesus enough times already. A commitment to Christ is to the Christian what a seed is to the tree. It's needed to turn the plot of soil into a living, thriving tree. But just as good soil and a healthy seed don't make a whole tree, so too, worship and a commitment to Christ are not the whole of spiritual growth. Once the seed breaks open, roots can start to grow in the soil. Verse 44 says they had all things in common. Verse 46 says, day by day they spent much time together. They broke bread at home and ate their food together with glad and generous hearts. These people were developing deep, rooted relationships with each other. And it is these rooted relationships that allow us to take in the nutrients from the soil of worship. These rooted relationships are the basis of our spiritual growth. C.S. Lewis had two writer friends. They called themselves the Inklings. And one of them, Charles Williams, died unexpectedly. And later on, Lewis realized something about his other Inkling friend, Ronald, otherwise known as J.R.R. Tolkien. And he said this, Lewis said this, in each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. Tim Keller puts it more succinctly, it takes a community to know an individual. We need each other. I have, as I'm guessing many of you do, a lifetime bucket list, you know, things I want to do or see before I depart this earth, and one of them was I wanted to see a tree large enough to drive a car through. And I got to see this when I went to the Redwoods in California. These are huge, towering trees. They're a sight to behold. They are organic cathedrals pointing to their creator. They are big, thick, and strong. But I noticed around some of those big, thick, strong trees, there were ropes and signs saying, do not walk around this tree. I asked around and found out that actually redwoods, even though they're really tall, have very shallow roots. And a tree that finds itself isolated from the others, you can actually cause it to fall down just by walking around it enough times. You'd have to be at it for a while, but you can cause that redwood to fall just by walking around its base. But the other redwoods, the ones that are close to each other, that have their roots interlocked, well, let's say you better have a really big saw and one heck of a stump grinder to erase that tree. Deep relationships are to the Christian what roots are to the tree. They anchor us. They feed us. They turn our isolated weakness into interlocking strength. But just as good soil, healthy seed, and strong roots are not the whole of a tree, so too, there is more to spiritual growth than just worship, a commitment to Christ, and deep relationships. Many people actually stop there. That's maybe even most people stop there. But if you think about the tree, we haven't even seen it poke its head above ground yet. There is so much more to spiritual growth. The core of the tree, the next phase, is its trunk. The trunk connects the life-giving ground with the life-giving sun above. Verse 42 says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The core of the tree, its trunk, and the core of the Christian growth is spiritual disciplines. Notice they didn't just dabble, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These teachings became what we know as the New Testament, and they sprang from reflections on what we know as the Old Testament. But notice they didn't just devote themselves to reading the scrolls, they devoted themselves to reflecting on them, to those teachings of the apostles. A while back, I decided to read the Bible in a year, and that was nice. Maybe some of you have done that, or maybe you take 2 years or 3 years, have a reading plan. I had some decent spiritual growth from reading the Bible in a year. But then the next year, I decided to reflect on Scripture, to write something down. And in 2 months of reflecting on Scripture, I had more spiritual growth than the entire year of just reading it. Reflecting on Scripture is one of the most essential spiritual disciplines. Notice they also didn't just dabble, they devoted themselves to prayer. There are about 14 quadrillion ways to pray. I have them all in a spreadsheet if you want to see it. But this is talking about something very specific because it's connected to the apostles' teaching. It's connected to this breaking of bread. It's a specific kind of prayer. It probably was not devoting themselves to prayers of help and for healing and things like that. They were doing those things. It mentions, you know, they were doing wonders and signs. They were doing all those, the healing and the help. But this specific kind of prayer was praying for guidance. Have you ever prayed, Lord, reveal your will to me? Have you ever prayed, Lord, do your will through me? Have you ever prayed, Lord, show me how you want this scripture to shape my life? Those are prayers of guidance, and they're part of the trunk of spiritual disciplines. If you want to know more about spiritual disciplines, others like fasting, solitude, celebration, confession, if you want to know more about other spiritual disciplines, highly recommend Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. Especially if you're going to do fasting as a spiritual discipline, not just a diet, his chapter on that is very helpful and practical. Spiritual disciplines are to the Christian what the trunk is to the tree. It is the core of strength, and it connects the life-giving soil below with the life-giving sun above. But just as a trunk and seed and soil and roots are not a whole tree, so too there is more to spiritual growth than just worship, a commitment to Christ, rooted relationships, and spiritual disciplines. A tree, as it's growing the trunk, also sends out branches. And branches are useful, right? They provide shade, they provide shelter for other animals, birds can nest in them. And the leaves that grow on the branches are necessary for the tree to live and thrive. I was talking to a forestry major once as I was sharing this tree image with her, and she said, actually, that the tree cannot use the nutrients it gets from the roots without the photosynthesis that happens in the leaves. The photosynthesis in the leaves unlocks the growth that happens in the rest of the tree. It is absolutely necessary to live and to thrive. The early church branched out in ministry and service. As I mentioned before, verse 43, 44, 45, the early church was doing wonders and signs. They were helping people financially as any had need. They were changing people's lives through healing, through helping, through support. Christian spiritual growth includes branching out in ministry and service. In my previous church, we started something called Serve Day, where we tried to get as many people in the church as possible out in the community serving on the same day. Some people would, you know, mulch playground at a school. Others would work as some of our local mission partners doing repairs and painting. Others cleaned up parks for the city. We just try to get everyone out doing something for the community, as many as possible on the same day. In that first year, we also challenged some of our small groups to sign up for the same location together, to go as a group to the same site. And after the serve day, we talked to the various ministries, and everyone was pretty happy. You know, they got some free labor, so they were pretty happy. But specifically, the locations where we sent those small groups, the people who had deep relationships already, the places where they were serving together, the places, the hosts, and the ministry partners were blown away by how much was done, and also blown away by the character of those relationships. It was a great witness. Then we followed up with those small groups and said, how was this for you? They said their relationship got deeper by serving together than they had in years, and it actually grew them in their faith as well. The act of serving together with other believers grew them more in a day than they had in a couple of years. When we become the hands and feet of Christ in the world, when we make a difference in our community in Christ's name, our own faith is deepened. There was a study a while back that asked people who felt stuck in their faith, have you ever felt stuck in your faith? They asked them, what helped you get unstuck? And the number one response was serving with other believers. That was the number one way to get unstuck in your faith. If your faith seems stuck, if it seems blah, right now, try serving with other believers or serving because of your faith and see if that unsticks you and leads to more spiritual growth. Ministry and service are to the Christian what the branches are to the tree, useful to others, but also allows the tree to take in everything else and turn it into a living, thriving growth. But a tree has one more component, one more thing that's necessary, and so does spiritual growth as well. And that one last thing is fruit. Otherwise, there wouldn't be another tree. There wouldn't be a forest. It would eventually just die. For the early church, the fruit was this, verse 47. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Sharing Christ with others is the last piece of the picture of spiritual growth. It is the fruit of the tree. Many years ago, I started what has now become my pattern. Whenever I'm traveling alone, not with my family, this doesn't work well with my family, but if I'm alone, a few years ago, I was in seminary, and I was going to a wedding of a friend, and so I was traveling alone. I brought my homework, I brought my paper I was going to work on, all the normal things I would do on an airplane, trying to get stuff done. And but this time I felt like I should do something different. So I had all that with me, but I had it in my bag. I wasn't going to open it until we got up to altitude. And I decided I was going to just visibly say I was open to conversation, say hello to whoever sat next to me. And if they decided to talk to me, and if they asked me, as Americans, we like to do this, what do you do? I had my one pre-planned line. I'm in seminary, learning to become a pastor. That's it. That's all I had planned. See what the Holy Spirit does from there. See if they wanted to talk about spirituality or not. And in that one weekend of just being open to conversation and having one pre-planned line, that's it, I had four deep, meaningful spiritual conversations with people I had never met before. And I'm an introvert, so I don't even like to do that. All I had to do was be open to the opportunity to talk and to let people know I was open. Sharing Christ isn't about cramming Jesus down people's throats. It's about handing someone a piece of fruit that you love and seeing if they want to take a bite. Sharing Christ with others isn't about having a canned speech that will convert someone on the spot. It's about having a spiritual conversation with a friend on a journey. That's it. The same study that asked people how they got unstuck, they also asked people who were identified, you know, as the pillars of the community, the people who were at the most mature levels of spiritual growth, the people who let Jesus flavor their entire lives, ask them, what was the most significant thing that helped you grow those last, you know, few steps? And they found the number one response from these pillars of the communities was sharing Christ with others. That's what allowed them to grow deeper than they ever had before. Sharing Christ with others is how you move from being a nice tree to being a spiritual redwood. And sharing Christ with others is to the Christian what the fruit is to the tree. It feeds others, but it also strengthens the forest around you. How do you track your progress in faith? How do you really, actually know if you are growing spiritually? Well, hopefully, now you can think of this text today and picture a tree. Are you being fed by the good soil of worship? Have you made a commitment to Christ, that seed of faith? Do you have the deep roots of relationships? Do you have a healthy, rich trunk of spiritual disciplines? Are you branching out in ministry and service? Are you sharing the fruit of Christ with others? My tree is not perfect. It's not even symmetrical. I just uprooted. Some of my spiritual disciplines are very strong. Some parts of my trunk are strong. Other parts are very weak. My ministry and service, as I branch out, it doesn't always find the right spots for the sun. But at least as I picture the tree, I can know I have been growing spiritually. There are places I can celebrate where God has been at work within me. And I can also see some places where maybe I need some pruning shears or a bag of fertilizer. What does your tree of spiritual growth look like? What is there to celebrate? Where has God been at work within you? But also, where might God be calling you to pull out your pruning shears or a bag of fertilizer for your tree? Sisters and brothers, let us grow our trees of faith together. And maybe, just maybe, our roots can join together in a forest of spiritual redwoods. Amen.